Hold up. This can't be right. Maya, you need to see this. I've been digging through the latest research on AI in higher ed, and there's this massive disconnect between what's happening in classrooms and what administrations think is happening.
What kind of disconnect? Because from where I'm sitting, having just left the classroom last year, I can tell you there's always been a gap between policy and practice.
No, this is different. There's this systematic review I just finished reading. It shows that students are essentially teaching themselves how to self-regulate their learning with AI tools, completely outside of any formal guidance. Meanwhile, universities are scrambling to create AI policies that are already outdated by the time they're implemented.
That's exactly what's happening in my CS program. Half my professors ban ChatGPT outright. The other half require us to declare when we use it. But nobody's actually teaching us how to use these tools effectively for learning. We're just figuring it out ourselves.
And that's precisely the problem. We're abandoning centuries of pedagogical wisdom for the latest shiny technology. Where's the critical thinking? Where's the deep learning?
James, I hear your concerns, but we can't ignore what's happening. Just yesterday, I had three department chairs in my office, all dealing with different aspects of this AI integration challenge. One's worried about academic integrity, another about equity issues, and the third about faculty who refuse to engage with it at all.
Sarah, that brings up something crucial from the research. There's this French study, L'enseignement supérieur à l'ère de l'IA générative, that found European universities are approaching this completely differently than we are in the States. They're focusing on transformation rather than restriction.
From my perspective, having taught both in Colombia and here in the US, I see how cultural attitudes toward technology and education vary drastically. In Latin America, we often embrace new tools more readily because we've had to be resourceful. But here there's this fear of losing control.
Can I just say something? As someone who's actually using these tools daily, you're all talking about AI like it's this monolithic thing. But the way I use Claude for understanding complex algorithms is totally different from how my roommate uses it for her philosophy essays. We need different kinds of guidance.
That's a fair point, Aisha. But that's exactly why I'm concerned. Without proper pedagogical frameworks, how do we ensure students are actually learning and not just generating outputs?
James, there's fascinating data on that exact question. The research on AI-enhanced student engagement shows that when properly integrated, these tools can actually increase academic performance. But, and this is the key part, only when there's intentional design around their use.
Which brings us back to the implementation challenge. How do we train faculty who are already overwhelmed? How do we ensure equitable access when not all students have the same technological resources?
In my experience, the best innovations in teaching always came from the ground up, when teachers had time to experiment, share what worked, and adapt based on their students' needs. But that requires trust and resources that many institutions aren't providing.
Here's what I don't understand. Why aren't we students part of these conversations more often? We're the ones using these tools, seeing what works and what doesn't. Like last week in my machine learning class, a group of us created this whole peer learning system using AI assistance that was way more effective than the traditional study groups.
Tell me more about that, Aisha. Because the self-regulated learning research suggests that's exactly what's happening across campuses. Students creating their own learning ecosystems.
So basically, we each specialized in different aspects of the material, then used AI to help us create explanations and examples for each other. But we had rules. You had to understand something well enough to correct the AI's mistakes before you could share it with the group.
Now that's interesting. You're essentially using AI as a pedagogical tool rather than a crutch. But how many students have that level of sophistication?
James, that's where we come in as educators. Instead of banning these tools, we should be teaching students how to use them critically, just like we taught them to evaluate internet sources 20 years ago.
The compliance issue is real, though. The research on AI use declarations shows that when we require students to disclose AI use, compliance rates are surprisingly low. Not because students are trying to cheat, but because they don't always recognize when they're using AI-enhanced tools.
That's a crucial point. The boundaries are blurring. Is Grammarly's new generative features AI? What about citation managers that suggest related papers? Where do we draw the line?
This is exactly what worries me. We're normalizing a relationship with technology where students don't understand the tools they're using. That's not education, that's dependence.
But James, hasn't every generation of educators worried about new technologies? When calculators came out, math teachers said students would never learn arithmetic. When word processors arrived, English teachers worried about handwriting. Yet we adapted.
The difference now is the pace of change. By the time I graduate next year, the AI tools we're debating today will be obsolete. What we really need to learn is how to adapt and evaluate new tools as they emerge.
The equity research backs that up, Aisha. The special issue on AI equity in higher education found that the biggest predictor of student success wasn't access to AI tools, but rather the ability to critically evaluate and adapt their use.
Which puts enormous pressure on institutions. We need to provide not just access, but training, support, and frameworks for ethical use. And we need to do it while budgets are tight and faculty are already stretched thin.
I'll admit, some of my resistance comes from feeling overwhelmed. I've spent 15 years perfecting my pedagogical approach, and now I'm being told to throw it out and start over. That's not just challenging, it's demoralizing.
James, I don't think anyone's saying throw it out. Good teaching is still good teaching. The question is how we enhance what works with new tools. When I introduced collaborative digital boards in my classroom, I didn't stop facilitating discussions. I just gave students new ways to participate.
Professor James, can I share something? Your skepticism is actually valuable. Some of my best professors are the ones who make us justify why we're using AI for specific tasks. It forces us to think critically about our tool choices.
This conversation is highlighting something the research makes clear. There's no one-size-fits-all approach. Community colleges face different challenges than research universities. STEM fields have different needs than humanities.
Exactly. Which is why we need flexible frameworks rather than rigid policies. But try explaining that to a board of trustees worried about ChatGPT-written dissertations making headlines.
The irony is that while we're debating policies, students are already living in an AI-integrated reality. They're using these tools for everything from note-taking to career planning. We're not preparing them for a future with AI. They're already there.
Then what's our role? If students are self-teaching and AI can explain concepts instantly, why do they need professors at all?
Because AI can't do what you do, Professor James. It can't challenge my assumptions in real time or notice when I'm struggling with something I won't admit. It can't share the experience of why certain approaches failed in the past. We need human expertise more than ever.
The research on leveraging AI for student engagement actually supports that. The most successful implementations aren't replacing human instruction, they're amplifying it. Students perform better when AI tools are integrated into human-led learning experiences.
But that requires significant investment in faculty development. We're asking professors to not just learn new tools, but fundamentally rethink their teaching methods. That's a massive undertaking.
In my department, we started small. Coffee chats where faculty could share experiments, both successes and failures. No judgment, just learning together. It was messy but effective.
I suppose I could try something similar, but I need evidence that this actually improves learning outcomes, not just engagement metrics.
The systematic review shows promising results, but you're right to be cautious. Most studies are still short-term. We don't know the long-term impacts on deep learning and critical thinking skills.
Maybe that's okay, though. Maybe we need to accept some uncertainty while we figure this out together. The alternative, pretending AI doesn't exist, seems worse.
From an administrative perspective, I agree. We can't wait for perfect research. Students are using these tools now, and we need to provide guidance, even if it's imperfect.
What if we reframe this whole conversation? Instead of AI versus traditional teaching, what if we think about AI as another tool in our pedagogical toolkit? Sometimes a lecture is best, sometimes group work, sometimes AI-assisted exploration.
I can work with that framing. It puts pedagogy first and technology second, but we still need to address the assessment challenge. How do I grade work when I don't know how much is student-generated versus AI-generated?
The research on academic integrity suggests moving away from traditional assessments altogether. More process-focused evaluation, collaborative projects, oral defenses, things that are harder to fake with AI.
My favorite class this semester requires us to document our entire thinking process, including how and why we used any tools. It's more work, but I'm learning way more about my own learning process.
That's exactly the kind of innovation we need to scale. But scaling requires resources, training, and institutional support that many departments lack.
Start small. One assignment, one class, one brave professor willing to experiment. That's how change happens in education, through teachers who care enough to try something new.
You know what? Fine. Next semester, I'll pilot something in one section. But I want support, pedagogical guidance, technical help, and honest feedback from students like Aisha.
That's the spirit. The research shows that faculty who approach AI integration as action research, documenting what works and what doesn't, often become the strongest advocates for thoughtful implementation.
Professor James, if you need a student perspective on your pilot, I'm in. I think bridging the gap between faculty concerns and student needs is crucial.
This is exactly the kind of collaboration we need more of. Faculty, students, and administration working together instead of at cross purposes. But we need to institutionalize these conversations, not just hope they happen organically.
What about creating faculty learning communities specifically focused on AI integration? Not top-down training, but peer-led exploration.
The data on faculty development supports that approach. Peer learning networks are consistently more effective than traditional professional development for technology integration.
I'd participate in something like that, especially if it included voices like Aisha's. Understanding how students actually use these tools would help me design better learning experiences.
And we need to hear from professors about what deep learning really means, so we don't lose sight of that in our rush to use every new tool.
I'm hearing consensus around several key points: the need for flexible frameworks, the importance of preserving pedagogical values, the crucial role of student voice, and the necessity of ongoing experimentation and adaptation.
Don't forget equity. Whatever systems we create need to work for all students, not just those with the latest technology or strongest digital literacy.
Absolutely. The research is clear that without intentional equity focus, AI integration can actually widen educational gaps rather than close them.
So where do we go from here? How do we turn this conversation into action?
Start with transparency. Let students know you're experimenting and want their feedback. We're usually pretty forgiving when we know professors are trying to improve our learning experience.
From an institutional level, I'm committing to creating more spaces for these conversations. Regular forums where faculty, students, and staff can share experiences and concerns.
And we need to document everything. What works, what doesn't, and why. Build our own evidence base instead of waiting for external research to catch up.
I'll keep tracking the research and sharing findings. But you're right. The real insights will come from practitioners like all of you who are navigating these changes daily.
I never thought I'd say this, but I'm actually feeling somewhat optimistic. Not about AI itself, but about our ability as educators to thoughtfully integrate new tools while preserving what matters most, helping students learn to think critically and deeply.
That's all we want, really. Not to use AI as a shortcut, but to have teachers help us understand when and how these tools can enhance our learning.
Then let's commit to continuing this dialogue. Regular check-ins, shared resources, and honest assessments of what's working.
And patience with each other. Change is hard, especially in education where the stakes feel so high.
The research suggests we're at an inflection point. How higher education responds to AI in the next few years will shape learning for decades to come. No pressure, right?
Thanks for that terrifying thought, Alex. But you're right, which is why these conversations matter so much.
Can I end with a thought? Every generation of students and teachers has faced technological change. What makes us think we can't handle this one? We just need to face it together.